Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
And over the past couple of weeks, as thousands of stressed out people found themselves cocooned on their couches with Netflix and more time than usual, one documentary series has captured attention more than any other. Tiger King, it's called, or to give the full title, Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem and Madness. It tells the story of how Joe Exotic, an eccentric private zoo owner, ended up in federal prison in the US for his part in a murder-for-hire scheme. It has murder accusations, country music, a run for president, and of course tigers. The series is a roller coaster. It's proven massively popular, but it's also dark and cruel, and critics have accused the filmmakers of exploiting vulnerable people. Actor and playwright Mark O'Halloran, he watched Tiger King, he hated it, and he joins me to tell me now why. That's Mark, as in, you know, he wrote Adam and Paul and Garage, etc. Mark, it's great to talk to you again. How are you?
It's great to talk to you. I'm good. I'm quarantined away here.
Yeah, good. I was just going to ask, how's the cocooning going?
It's,
all right. Good
it's
man,
good.
Yourself.
I mean, watching anything that's on the television, and I suppose Tiger King is one of the big ones that has been.
And by the way,
on.
That's seven programs. In fact, it's so popular they're going to stretch it out to three more. They're currently filming, I believe. Anyway,
really?
Point is,
oh my
sorry,
gosh.
I know. Okay, so did you get through the whole seven? Yeah.
Well, I read online lately that it's the television equivalent of pouring tequila on your brain. And I can understand that is exactly what we all want to do at this time, is to pour tequila on our brains. And there is a certain amount of, I think, escapism within it. And you know, I understand that people are really enjoying it. And for that alone, I suppose it should be celebrated. But it follows on in a line of type of Netflix documentaries that I suppose started with The Making of a Murderer. And I think that one gave more depth. You know, it was a really, you know, it's sort of a similar type of milieu, really poor working class people trying their best, and then these crazy stories, you don't know where the truth lies, you struggle for it, and yet the portrait that they give of the people is more compassionate, whereas this one, I think that the documentary maker is setting up Joe Exotic, who is ridiculous anyway, but he's setting it up for laughs, and yet it's leading us into this incredibly dark place. And we still are laughing. But, like, you know, there's a scene in it, not to give away anything, but somebody kills themselves.
Yeah.
And the action is not captured, but there is a CCTV footage of somebody watching it happening.
Yeah.
And tonally, the program doesn't shift after that. It doesn't say, and now we're in this really dark place. It still goes on with the jolly music and setting up everybody as being sort of ridiculous and this great. And I felt it was... I felt it was utterly hedonistic by the end. I was going, like, I didn't feel that I learned anything about these people or why it is they've gotten to this place or what the truth of it is or what exactly we're trying to say about them. It just felt like cruel entertainment at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, like, you know, while I see your point, all right, like, you know, do you think that, like, you know, suffering almost becomes a sport, and all these people are suffering before you even meet them, you know that? But
yeah.
But that's the way with a lot of true crime stuff, and you kind of wonder, like, I mean, I read a thing once that were, like, 80% of the people who watch true crime are females. People, like, it's amazing, people love true crime, no matter what way it's done or not. Now, this isn't true crime, but, I mean, you mentioned Making a Murderer, and what was the one, the Adnan Syed one, what was that called, the 12-part series that started the whole thing?
Was it The Staircase? Or
no, the one before that again. I listened to it all. It went on for 12 programs going, no, not The Jinx, that's Robert Durst. Whatever it was called, I can't remember. Everybody knows the podcast. The first one, it doesn't matter. Point is, anyway, like, and then we had to find out at the end, was he guilty or innocent? This kind of stuff that we've been watching over the last bunch of years, I mean, the tyranny of the internet comes into the whole thing as well, and it bleeds into the real world. Is the whole thing, like, would you be saying Tiger King, okay, this isn't fair, enough is enough?
I'm not sure that you do that. I mean, it is the television equivalent also of clickbait. Like, it by itself generates more material online. People go from watching it on Netflix to online to following conspiracies to blah, 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 blah. And it seems to be of the moment. But I also would wish, I just wished that it was kinder and more compassionate. I know they're not kind and compassionate people, but you can look at them in a kinder way, in a more compassionate way, and see where it is the damage is. Like, a lot of these people that were surrounding Joe Exotic were, you know, meth addicts and people from really screwed up backgrounds, but there wasn't an attempt. They were still being presented as a joke. And I just think that's dangerous. I don't know.
And you
why.
Can see a difference between that and Making a Murderer, because there was compassion with Making a Murderer.
Well, like, you know, if you look at something like Brendan Dancy, is it Brendan Dancy?
Yeah.
That's an incredibly compassionate portrait of that kid. you watch it and you go, oh my God, I wish somebody would help him.
Well, Brendan Dassey, he was interviewed by the cops and you could see where they were leading him. And you look at it and go, how could this guy get so many years in jail when seriously, he just admitted to something because he wanted to go home and play his PlayStation?
Yes, and then they also played the phone calls between him and his mother. And yeah. I thought some of those were really heartbreaking. There's nothing heartbreaking in Tiger King. Like, there's nothing heartbreaking. It is literally played for this is wacky entertainment. And also I can understand that we want a bit of wacky entertainment at the moment. We really do. Yeah. But maybe it's not the greatest program in the long run, you know? And I worry about where it's going to lead us, you know?
In one way, its greatest strength is kind of its most, I don't know, concerning weakness, if you like. Like, you know, sensationalism is its own thing here, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, you know, even like there's that portrait of the woman who had her arm pulled off by the tigers, which is just never explained. You don't see her background. You just, you know, she was back on site within, I don't know, 3 days of having her arm amputated. There was no explanation of the damage that brought her there, you know. There's also, there's lots of misogyny in the middle of it, and I kind of was despairing by the end of it.
So do you think we're going down a rabbit hole? That we're just going to, by the way, Serial was the thing I was trying to think of earlier on.
That podcast
thing that went on for so long. And they did stretch it out. I mean, there is a thing about documentaries that they do present themselves as the kind of person making them wants you to see something. Like, I mean, Michael Moore is the best example. I mean, people give out all the time about Michael Moore. I really like his stuff. I thought his most recent one, not Fahrenheit 9/11, but Fahrenheit 11/9, the one about Trump, I thought it was just great. I thought it was fantastic. And I know a lot of people thought, now, wait a minute, he just uses facts to, you know, put his own argument across all the time. But this is what you would sometimes think. Like, when you say you don't like what the filmmaker has done, he's just as bad as anything else. Are you talking about this guy, Eric Good, who actually made it? Or are you talking about the guy who was making the reality program within the program?
No, the actual maker of this program. Like, if you look at the music choices, the look at the shots, the way they present people, always presenting people as being utterly ridiculous. And I know that a lot of the characters in it are utterly ridiculous, but they're also human beings, and we can. And also, some of the material is getting so dark that you can't play it as a joke anymore, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the desire for power for a lot of them is really, like, I mean, also the desire for fame for the main guy. Mother of Jesus, that's really all he wants, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it is. He's incredibly damaged. But then you don't really, you know, Joe Exotic is really, he's a fascinating cartoon character when you see him. But you don't, what made him that? You know, how did he get there? And also then the people around him, like that kid that he was married to who killed himself.
Yeah.
Where was he from? And they showed the eulogy that he did at that funeral.
Well, no, the eulogy part was just one of the weirdest things. There's his mother in the front row clapping along to some song, having, like, he's been pretty kind of whatever weird with his eulogy. And then she comes to his next wedding.
She comes to his next wedding. But when you look at her, the pictures of her in the front row, her face is moving and she's chewing her mouth off. Yeah. She looks to be very medicated, and yet that is also played, I think, a little bit for laughs. And I was really like, oh God, no.
Well, hold on. Here's one from The Guardian, and they said, talking about it, says it turned out to be great art. And like much of our great art, it reflects our world back to us, reveals our hidden realities and our shameful foibles. We are Tiger King. The Tiger King is us. How far down are we going here?
I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you. I really, you know, of course, most of us are bad to the core, or, you know, are selfish, are you know, are exploitative of other people in our lives. But we're not the Tiger King. We're not down that rabbit hole yet.
But do you notice the way, like in Making a Murderer, we saw how the law actually can work in that county and work really weirdly.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of people with O.J. Simpson down through the years, and just in terms of just the way things go. But there is a thing, like in this Tiger King, there's the prosecutors towards the end relying on the testimony of a liar. There's the cop who I think is related to the woman that he was doing the hire for kill thing. The cop doesn't seem too worried about the possible dead husband or the possible missing husband. I mean, it's all very kind of loose, isn't it?
Oh, you know, and the presentation of Carol on her bicycle, constantly doing slow-mos of her either walking or with this grin on her face. So they were always setting her up for whatever they were going to present with the husband thing. It just, I don't know, the whole thing. Whereas I don't think they did that with Making of the Murder. They did try and expose real corruption that was going on within the police service, what looked like real corruption. And certainly, they certainly did expose the Brendan
Dassey
conviction,
one, whatever,
yes, as being really, really troublesome, and also him as being a really damaged kid who should have been saved in some way. So, but I don't think they did any of that in Tiger King. It just became a cartoon freakout.
I mean, like there are pathologies on display in every one of the seven episodes, each kind of piled on top of the other. And there's this drive for power that an awful lot, the constant need for more and more. At one stage in the programme 6 or 7, your man in the red T-shirt, who became a kind of an FBI informant, I can't remember his name, he says at one stage, everybody wants to be the biggest, but no one focuses on being the nicest. And there's none of that in there.
And how big cats fit into all of that, like the idea of these men wanting to surround themselves with large large tigers for some reason. There's probably a thesis to be written on that.
Yeah, well, I'm not getting that one myself at all, but also, like, you know, it doesn't really bring, or does it, do you think, attention to this scourge of captive big cats in America, more on farms in the weirdest parts of America than out in the wild?
Well, I certainly had never known that was such a big thing.
Yeah,
you know, you'd see rappers or something like that, and they'd have a tiger in the background of their album sleeve or something like that.
Or somebody making a video in Vegas.
Yeah.
Hello, Britney Spears.
But I didn't know it was that big of a deal.
No.
And the idea that the euthanizing of the tigers and mass graves of tigers on site, and then that guy with these a lot of interns surrounding him.
Oh, well,
and him being incredibly enlightened, Bagvad, whatever he calls himself.
Ankle.
I mean, really, quite disturbed.
Yeah.
But again, it was played for laughs, and there was a woman in the middle of it talking about, you know, sexual exploitation was going on there.
Oh, hugely, yeah, absolutely. And also there's Jeff Lowe, the main guy who's still standing, if you like. I mean, it's important that... And his hot nanny towards the end and all the rest of it.
I know. Oh,
that guy
is
complete. In fact, he's actually, I just mentioned Britney Spears. You can check up the Britney Spears video for whatever song it is. And she comes down. Oh, no, it was at an award ceremony. And she comes down in a big cage with a big tiger in it. And the guy in the cage with her is your man.
Oh, my God.
There's all these weird things coming out. I mean, like the director of the movie, Eric Good, who you gave out about, he used to go out with Naomi Campbell. I don't know why I know all these things, but if I've watched it, I might as well know a bit.
There's a crossover with the fashion pop world now.
I mean, like that whole thing, though, about the attention given to the scourge of captive big cats is absolutely huge. I mean, a lot of these places promote themselves as wildlife refugees or kind of sanctuaries or something. They are not.
I mean, they're being kept in tiny cages against their own natural instincts to roam wild, I suppose, and are bred so that they can have the kittens there to show off to people, and then they're euthanized after when they become a little bit more troublesome. Like it's not sanctuary in any way, shape, or form, really.
No, I mean, like, and the whole thing, you would think, and I mean, I get your point. Obviously, it's that it's just dedicated to kind of spectacle more than any truth, if you like.
Yeah, and I think in a weird way that has fitted in with the moment we're in at the moment. We need a little bit of escapism, and that is such a crazy show that it has offered people a kind of there's some hours past watching it. And I suppose it has to be appreciated for that at this time. You know, a lot of people are locked down at home, and everybody is. So I can understand people have turned to it, but I'm a little bit disturbed by it.
Indeed. Okay, by the way, what are you doing at the moment, Mark? What are you up to? What's the big screen? Oh, well, there is no big screen, but go on.
There is no big screen. Well, we were supposed to be having, my new film was supposed to be out on the 6th of May, which is a thing called Rialto, which it was on at the Dublin Film Festival, and we premiered in Venice last September. But everything, I suppose, is on hiatus, so I've no idea yet. So I think a lot of films will start coming out on various streaming platforms, so I suppose there's a bit of that going on, but I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Hold on, Rialto, it's not about a Dublin suburb, is it? Or part of Dublin?
Well, it's where I live, but it's about a man who comes from there. So
And would it be autobiographical, Mark?
It would not be autobiographical. I promise. I swear to you. I swear to my mother now. No, it definitely isn't autobiographical.
Why? What's the story? What happens?
Well, it's a story about a man who is a married man who has some children, and he finds himself accidentally falling in love with a rent boy and wrecking his life.
Right, OK, so it's not autobiographical.
It certainly is not autobiographical. But Tom Von Lawler's in it, and he's really magnificent. Yeah. So I would like people to see his performance. It's like nothing he's ever done before. And there's a young fella in it called Tom Kincarney as well, who is really extraordinary in it. So, like, for those reasons. So we'll get it out, you know. We just need, everyone needs clarity on what's going on.
Absolutely.
And besides that, doing lots of writing, and then we shall see where it all to make
this
again.
Is meant to be a good time for writing, is it though? I mean,
well, I think like everybody else, you feel like, oh, if I was locked at home, I'd write the great novel that I was always wanted to write.
That's what I'm saying.
But you find yourself locked at home and being on Twitter all day. First of all, because the extreme nature of the news cycle is coming at you fast. And people are genuinely worried. So your head is wrecked a bit. And so you don't get the volume of work that you think you're going to get done. Now, maybe over the next couple of weeks, things will settle down. And we will change the world with our literature that we will all produce. But it's an uncertain time for everyone, I think. And so it's the same for anyone who's writing or blah, blah, blah.
Indeed.
You know?
Do you know, I have to read this thing out now. It's an odd thing in some ways. Look, if you're affected by any of the issues raised in the discussion about Tiger King, I'm just going to give you some numbers. Samaritan's 24-hour helpline is 116123 and Pieta House 24-hour helpline is 1-800-247-247. And it's actually points to what you're saying that I'm reading that out, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it's very important that people are aware of their mental health, especially at this time, but also with those issues that are dealt with in Tiger King. Yeah. And people should just be careful with themselves at this difficult time, because a lot of people, including myself, are actually having to isolate alone because we live alone. And that's tough. You know, I know it's very tough for everybody, so I'm not saying that it's uniquely tough. But when you're on your own and away from people, it's, you know... It can be tough.
Well, listen, go off now and write the great Irish novel. Mark
O'Halloran. Oh, God, don't be putting that pressure on me.
Thank you very much, Mark. And we look forward to Rialto wherever we see it, whenever
Absolutely.
We can see it. Thanks a million.
Absolutely.
See you. Take it easy. All right, bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.